Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, here we are again. Celebrated the Seder meal. Had the stripping of the altar, taking everything down, all the colors. And then we gather here this night in the evening at a time when if we were the people of Israel celebrating this way back, we would have started the day, the Sabbath, at 6 o'clock, a little bit over, an hour and a half ago. Would have taken the time during the day when all this was happening with Jesus to be preparing for the Passover meal, and we'd be getting ready to start the Sabbath, to celebrate this special Sabbath, this high Sabbath event during Passover with our families. That is why the people who were at the court of Pilate, we're not the average people, not the people that we see the palms strewn throughout this altar area, because they were there saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name Hosanna, blessed is the Son of David. Those people are preparing for Passover. The people that we see shouting and asking for Jesus' blood are the leaders of the people. They're the people who should know better. They're not the average person. They're the people whose livelihood is at stake. You realize this? At the beginning of Holy Week, Jesus had turned over the money changers' tables, which they had got a little percentage of in the temple courts. He had called for a complete restructuring of everything. He had said that what they were doing was religion and wasn't what God intended. He called for a total transformation, and they were not pleased. So early in the morning, when Jesus gets taken from the high priest's house to Pilate's palace, it's not the common people. It's not the common people who are there shouting, crucify him. But the ones who knew the word, the ones who wanted to twist it, to twist the word to fit them rather than to receive it, accept it, and live it. They were the ones who knew scripture. They were the ones to whom Herod went when Jesus was born and asked, where would the king of the Jews be born? Remember that? Not too long ago, right? Celebrated that. Oftentimes, it isn't the common people that are the ones that are deceiving people. A lot of times, it's the people who we think should know better. And we live in a day and age, brothers and sisters, where what Pilate said when he scoffingly said, what is truth, kind of epitomizes the day we live in, don't you think? It epitomizes the day we live in because there no longer is truth. Everybody's opinions are evolving. If I hear about another person's opinion evolving, I think my head's going to explode. Because people's opinions are always evolving. And I'll tell you something about the truth. The truth does not evolve. No matter how much time you give it, 2 + 2 = are you sure? We better survey. Better do a survey. Because maybe if 51% of the people think that 2 + 2 = 5, and sometimes I wonder if we're not getting there quickly, then should we not change 2 + 2 to not equal 4, but to equal 5, because isn't everything relative? No? The reason we're here tonight is because, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because when I listen to people talk, I hear a lot of gloom. I even sense a bit of fear. I went today to get breakfast, and I'm sitting at a booth in a restaurant in Saline, and I'm listening to a guy talk to another guy in the booth next over from me, and they must have hearing problems because they were really loud. I wasn't trying to hear what they were saying, just so you know. Say, what does the pastor do? Does he go and sneak up on people and listen to them? I wasn't listening, but they were talking really loud. And the guy said, I'm so glad that I'm not turning 18. That I'm so glad that I'm at the end of my days and not at the beginning. He said, it just seems like everything in our society is crumbling. Everything that we hold to be true is being disregarded. And I don't know what the subject that I entered in, I kind of got to hear the end of it. I don't know what the subject was. But all I can tell you is, I thought to myself, how sad. How sad. But then I contemplated and thought about people like Mary and John and Peter and Andrew and James. How did they feel at this time, 2,000 and some years ago, on that night in Jerusalem? How did they feel? This is like an hour and a half after Jesus has been put into that tomb. Just remember, the Sabbath started at 6 p.m. He died at 3. They moved quickly, did they not? To get him off the cross and into that tomb so that they could celebrate the Sabbath. So by this time in the evening, they're in the Sabbath, the high Sabbath, the Passover, and don't you think that the darkness consumed them? Don't you think that the gloom was there? Don't you think that they were swayed by all those people that had come down the road and saw the sign and went, oh. Or all those people that saw Jesus up on the cross and recognized them as his disciples and followers? Can you think for a moment how the shadows had come and the darkness had deepened in their lives? And that's what could easily happen on Good Friday, couldn't it? If this was where we stayed, if this service was the last service that we had until next year, could we stay here? Could we leave here with gloom and sadness, with shadows that are and darkness that is deepening? If this is all we heard and didn't know the end of the story, and it's, you know, it strikes me, this is what's so frustrating, is I think, because of my age, I'm 46, I think that everybody should know the end of the story. Because I'm a Christian, and I grew up, and most of the people when I was growing up around me were Christians. And some people were in the Secret Service because they only showed up at Christmas and Easter. You know? But I grew up at a time where most people were Christian, and therefore I just bought into the idea that everybody knew the end of the story. But when I'm sitting in a restaurant and I'm listening to people who are despairing, so much so that they say they would not want to live out their life at this time, and I'm thinking to myself, the Lord must think great, He must really have great pride in us. Not that we should have pride, but He has pride in us because He put us here at this time in history because He thinks that we are the right people to do the job that He requires of us, which is share the light of Christ and the truth of Christ at this time in history. I think this is a positive thing. And I'm listening to this despair and I'm thinking to myself, it would be so easy to let the shadows and the darkness deepen. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be so easy to listen to the news? In Matthew's gospel, when you read this, the story, you hear about the two that were crucified with Jesus. One is right and one is left, remember? Three crosses. Remember what happened? They were bickering with each other. And I could just imagine, as it became harder and harder to breathe, that the one guy is basically mocking Jesus, and the other one makes one of the greatest confessions that we have in Scripture, is when he realizes who he's up as he realizes that Jesus is the one who he says he is, and asks that he could be with him. And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Isn't that amazing? Because you would think, if you're up there and you're having more and more trouble breathing, and you know that the time is coming when your end will be here, and you look around, and who do you see? You see the Roman soldiers, are they going to be much help? I don't think so. You look around at the few straggling people that are beneath the cross of Jesus, who are weeping and crying for him. Do you think they're going to be much help? And you look at the other thief, and what is he doing? Mocking Jesus. Do you think he's going to be much help? And then he looks at Jesus, and he must have seen something. Don't you think? He must have seen something, because he says to Jesus, "I want to be part of your kingdom." Right? "I want to be with you." He recognizes his sin. He recognizes he deserves to be on that cross. He, like us, recognizes that we're the ones who put Jesus there. And he cries out for mercy, and Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Brothers and sisters, my encouragement to you this Good Friday is to recognize that it's Good Friday. Because even though we are going to leave this service tonight, it's going to be different. We're going to leave the service. We're going to come up right now after the sermon, and we're going to light candles off of the Christ candle. Then we're going to go back to our seats. We're going to have our prayers, have another reading. And then there's going to be the closing of the book, which is reminiscent of the closing of the tomb. And then the Christ candle is going to go out, and I'm going to carry it out, and then I'm going to light it and come back in as a reminder that we know the rest of the story. And as you look out over all the candles that are going to be on as we turn the lights down, after we've all come up and lit our candles and we go back to our seats, we're going to look out over all the candles and realize that together we can let people know. Together we are the light. Together we are the ones who carry the light of Christ into the world, aren't we? And I want to encourage you, as you leave here tonight, you're going to go out and there'll be there's a little basket there to take your candles. We're going to leave in silence, as we do on Good Friday. But I pray you won't be silent. I pray that you'll realize there's a lot of people who are despairing in our world today. There's a lot of people who lack hope in our world today. There's a lot of people who, if they were here tonight, would think this is the end of the story. And I would encourage you to pray. To pray for people of peace in your life. To pray for people who you might know who would benefit from coming on Easter Sunday and realizing that even when the darkness and the shadows deepen, it's not the end of the story. We have a God who was willing to be born in that manger, to live out his life, to go through what we saw in the video, and to die on that cross for us. It was love that kept him there, not the nails. You've heard that, right? We've sung that. It's love that kept him on the cross, not the nails. Because he was going to be the once and for all sacrifice for us. He's our high priest. He understands us. And he wants us to go out and let people know that the shadows and the darkness, as they deepen in the world, the light of Christ will shine even more brightly. Because the truth does not change. And we are the people whom God has called for this time in history. This time in history. It's not an accident that you're here, brothers and sisters. It's not an accident that God let you be born into this century at this time. He has chosen to put you here so that you can be light and salt in this world. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? That is a wonderful gift. So who is it that you know? That is someone God is working on their hearts. As you leave here in silence tonight, I would ask you to pray and ask the Lord to lead you to someone who needs to hear that the shadows and the darkness that seems to be deepening around us is just a lie. It's just a lie. And the truth is Jesus Christ. And the truth can set us free. And I would encourage you to invite people to come and celebrate this Easter. Come and celebrate. Not doesn't have to be here. It could be any church. I don't care. But may they hear the truth that this is not the end of the story. It's not. It's the forgiveness, the blood that was needed to forgive us all of our sins. But it's Friday, and Sunday's coming. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand.